Thank you. Hello. It will be a few less than Gordon, so. thank you for asking me, and I feel very blessed to be here as well, just so you all know. And also, how cute was this up here with those kids? Let's just hear it for those kids one more time. Those camel onesies were super cute, so I thought about getting one, but I thought I'd just leave it to the kids. I'm not sure how many of you go backpacking or go climbing or something like that, but I'm going to tell you a little story about my experience going backpacking with my home church in the mountains of Wyoming.
Ooh,
yeah. I've been a handful of times. But the very first time that I went, I definitely went for the wrong reasons. You see, I have two older stepbrothers, and when they became my stepbrothers, they were these guys who were kind of these, like, macho dudes, you know. They were football players. They would go hiking and backpacking and roughing it all the time. One of them became a police officer, and the other one works in construction. They both have been in the army before, and so they're kind of this, like, manly men kind of thing. And so I saw this, and when I was in about eighth grade, I decided, okay, you know what? I can be rough. I can be tough. So I decided I'll go backpacking. I'll do this with my church. And, you know, I had my ambitions set high. I said, everything. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do everything on this trip. I wanted to go on every single day hike. And for those of you who don't know, basically the way a day hike works is you move your camp from place to place to different bases of mountains. And then you spend a day. You can either spend the day back at that camp or you can choose to climb up the mountain. And so, knowing this, I had my two older stepbrothers to impress. I said, okay, I'm going to do every single one. I'm going to go up every single mountain. And on the last day, I ended up doing it. I ended up going up every single mountain along the way. On the last day, though, the way it was planned was we were going to go up the highest mountain, Cloud Peak, which just sounds kind of ominous, end up in the clouds. By this time, I was tired, I was worn out, I had blisters on my feet, but I decided I wanted to do this. I could prove myself to my stepbrothers. Now, I don't know, can I get a raise of hand of who's climbed a mountain before? Yeah? Oh, wow, of course. Yeah, it's a normal thing. Yeah. So you all can relate to this. As when I say mountains are deceiving. Mountains are deceiving, okay? So imagine you're climbing this mountain, and you've been going for a while, you're feeling pretty good, and you see a ridge off in the distance. And you think, okay, you know, I've been going for a while, that's probably the top. So you're climbing, 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 you get to the top of that ridge, and guess what? There's more mountain. You see another ridge. You say, okay, well, if that wasn't it, the next one is it, for sure. So you keep climbing, you keep climbing, you keep climbing, get to that next one. Guess what? There's another ridge and another ridge. And this is exactly what happened to me. I was climbing this mountain, and each ridge I thought was the final bit. But it wasn't. I had to keep climbing. I'm building up to something, can you tell? We finally reached the top. And I wish I could have had all of you there with me because the view from the top is phenomenal. If you've been, many of you have been on top of a mountain before. It's literally a mountaintop experience. Thanks, thank you. Okay. I'll paint a picture for you. This mountain, Cloud Peak, there are deep blue lakes that surround this mountain. On one side, there is a steep cliff that goes straight into one of those lakes. You can see for miles and miles of clear blue sky. At this moment, there was a feeling of immense, there was an immense feeling of creation, and not just any kind of creation. I was standing in the midst of God's creation. I felt so incredibly small in that moment. But guess what? The story doesn't stop there. The mountain does, but the story doesn't. After my group of about 20 or so got over our initial shock of amazement, my pastor gathered us in a circle. We were sweaty, tired, and amazed. My pastor takes bread and wine out of his backpack, says the words of institution, and we share in holy communion together on top of this mountain. In that moment, we take Jesus' real presence into our bodies and celebrate this sacrament together. In that moment of feeling so incredibly small, in the midst of God's amazing creation, I was reminded that Jesus encounters me intimately. He encounters each of us personally. Just last week, the 7-Up crew that meets up every other week, we got together and we talked about Mary and Joseph, obviously, for obvious reasons. We talked about their tremendous call. We talked about how Mary and Joseph were these two ordinary people, but God had extraordinary plans for them. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up to Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So here, we start to hear Joseph's journey. We hear that he's engaged to Mary, and she becomes pregnant, as we all know. And he's obviously, he's shocked. He's appalled by this news. He's stunned. He doesn't know what to believe. And so, I mean, put yourself into Joseph's shoes. What do you think is going on here? You know, human nature easily pushes Joseph to think that Mary was not faithful. So he decides to do the right thing and divorce Mary quietly off to the side so not to disgrace her. But this is what's cool. This next part is just really, it's I love how God works. God has other plans for Joseph. Joseph has a vision. Has a vision from God. A powerful and life-changing vision. And in this vision, this message from God, Joseph finds out the truth about his wife-to-be. Joseph understands the gravity of the situation and recognizes the significance of this event. His soon-to-be wife is carrying the one who will save his people from their sins. The Gospel of Matthew, this version of the birth, it doesn't tell of an innkeeper. It doesn't tell of a manger or a stable. It simply states that Mary gave birth to a son, and he was named Jesus. But in the midst of this passage, there's something key to this anticipation of Christmas. Anyone excited for Christmas? Yeah. My host family's, yeah. I have to tell you real quick. So when I got here in August, I was already hearing the Christmas word. So Christmas cards have been floating around. I've been excited. It's exciting. Can't wait to get there. There's a lot of anticipation in the air for this holiday, obviously. We see Christmas-themed advertisements. We see Christmas lights, the Christmas market, mince pies. I'm learning. And it all builds up to this one day, just around the corner, but we wait. We wait here in anticipation for family, for great food together, for friends, for presents, for parties, for Christmas jumpers. But most of all, we wait for these words. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We wait to celebrate God with us. We wait in anticipation for what we know is so very good. We wait for that moment when God enters this world as a baby. And humanity is on its way to being made new. We wait for the beauty of a baby, yet the power of the Almighty. We wait for the light of the world to step down into darkness. We wait for Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, oh man, you are so good. We give you thanks for sending your son, not just as a human, but as a part of you. God, we give you thanks for this Christmas season. That we can look at this season, we can remember that you are with us, God. God, we give you the thanks for the joy that you bring to us. But most of all, God, we give you thanks for your Son, who not only entered this world, but died in this world and rose from it. God, we give you thanks. Amen.